Jesus, we come here this morning to celebrate that reality, that you're alive. And the implications of you being alive are huge, massive. God, I ask that every single one of us here this morning would know that we are dearly loved by you. Right here, right now, we are dearly loved by you. Thank you for today. We love you. In your name, we all said?
Amen.
You may be seated. How are we doing? Come on. Come on. Are we alive? We're alive, right? Good, because I'm alive too. I got sleep last night. Yes. In case you're wondering, I have two kids. No sleep for me except for last night. It was fantastic. I was super stoked on that. Collectively, all around the world, today we celebrate the reality or the hope that we find in the empty tomb, that Jesus is alive. And as we begin to look at the implications of Jesus being alive, wherever you are on the spectrum of faith, whether you don't believe or you're skeptic or you do believe, wherever you find yourself, I just want to ask you to be open. Be open to allow God to speak to you, because I believe that he is here. I believe that he desires to speak to you. I believe that you are not here by chance. Even if you were dragged here or if you're like, okay, I'll go. I really do believe that God has you here. He wants you here and he wants to say something to you. Okay? You down with that? Let's be open. Let's see what God has for us. We're going to look at the story. Mark says this, one of the followers of Jesus, about the story of his resurrection. It says, very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. They being three women, Mary Magdalene, Salome, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. They're showing up to the tomb to bring burial spices to cover up the scent of a decaying body because they believe that Jesus is dead. Because as far as they're concerned, dead people stay what? Dead. They don't rise. They have no idea. Their expectation is that Jesus is dead. And I can just imagine Mary, Jesus's mom, the sense of mourning, the sense of loss as she's going there to pay respect to her son. Verse 3, on the way there, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? Because the stone is a massive stone. Who's going to roll that away? Because we can't actually do that. There's no possible way. Again, their sole focus is on the reality that Jesus is still dead. Verse 4, but as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked. They weren't expecting to see a young man in a white robe, I guess, huh? Like, what is that? Look at what he says here. The angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from what? From what? Can you imagine that? Mary, the mother of Jesus, is going to the tomb expecting to see her son lying there dead, and he's not. To which she is going, oh, it's true. Everything that he said, everything that he did, it's true. Jesus lived his life preaching that you could have eternal life in him. He lived his life with a radical kind of love that no one had ever encountered. Jesus lived his life through, he gave miracles, healed people. He was an incredible servant, an incredible leader, and he died for them, for us. But if the story ended just there, if the story ended where he just died, then sooner or later, that story would fizzle out and it would die itself because it's just like any other person. But the story doesn't fizzle out. In fact, some 2,000 years later and billions of people later have been impacted by the story. Why? Because Jesus isn't dead. Death has been defeated because of him and he is alive. And we know that. Many of us, we've encountered it. It's real for us. But for many of us here, Jesus being alive begs the question, so what? Okay, he's alive. So what? The fact that Jesus is alive has huge implications for all of us. For one, because Jesus is alive, we have a hope. We now have hope for the future. Because he has conquered death, those who put our faith in him also become conquerors of death as well. In other words, we don't have to fear death anymore because we have life and life forever. And sometimes we call that heaven. And a lot of times we have a depiction of heaven, that heaven is this place where we are in clouds playing a harp. That sounds horrible to me. Seriously. It's the last thing that I want to do, spending eternity. And that's not what Jesus is going to do. Jesus is going to take heaven down to earth here, and he's going to renew everything to where there is no more sickness, no more death. There's no more aging, no more disease, no more poverty, no more pain. It's all gone. He's going to completely renew this place and renew our bodies. Think about it for a second. Suffering, evil, death have contaminated the world. We see it in the news. We see it all over the place. And there's something within us. There's these longings within us that say, that's not how it's supposed to be. When death is in front of us, we look at that and we go, that's not how it's supposed to be. We have this longing within us that we feel like this just isn't right. The resurrection compels us to hope for the life that we were meant to live. The fact that Jesus is alive shows us that there is hope in the future, that there is a future that is filled with love and peace and joy, where all the stuff in the world that bogs us down and tears us apart is no longer going to be there. The fact that Jesus is alive shows us that there's answers to these longings that we have within us. I think it's safe to say that we don't want to live in a world that's filled with evil and injustice, right? Even my two-year-old daughter, she desires that. I can see it as she watches movies. We have lots of Disney movies. As she watches these Disney movies, she roots on when good triumphs over evil, when people are restored. She naturally celebrates when the Beast and Beauty and the Beast is restored to his true self at the end of the movie. And if you haven't seen the movie, I just ruined it for you. Sorry. Or I saved you. Either one. It's up to you. Your choice. But she celebrates and she goes, the Beast, look, Daddy, the Beast. He's a person. She celebrates it. She celebrates when Cinderella is freed from the bondage of the evil stepmother. She celebrates when Anna and Elsa's relationship is restored. She celebrates when Rapunzel is reunited finally with her family. We watch a lot of Disney movies, I know. She celebrates this. Why? Because even my 2.5-year-old daughter has a longing that's been built within her for things how they're supposed to be. Where does that come from? It comes from the fact that God has created each and every one of us to have that longing because he has created us for a place in which he's preparing. Sin has entered this world and messed things up. As a result, we have these longings. We all do. We all watch movies, and we watch those movies. We desire for the good people to win. We want that to happen. When we watch love stories and love movies, like The Notebook, why do you think The Notebook is so popular? Why? Honestly. What? But I get it. From a principle basis, it's love that lasts. Even when things get hard, it's a love that lasts to where at their last moments together, they love each other. We like that movie. Whatever. But that movie is nice because it tells the story that love lasts. We are attracted to stories like that because we desire for love to last. And because Jesus has risen from the grave, he has given us an answer to those longings that are created within us. I believe that those longings that we have within us, because we have a desire for the world to look like that. And Jesus has the answer to it. Because he has defeated death, he gives us those longings. He supplies those longings. We have hope for the future to know that there is a place that we all are longing for. And he's creating it, and he's preparing it for you and me. Jesus' resurrection gives us a real reason to hope for the future, that we have life ahead of us. Recently, I was anticipating the birth of my son. And just side note, my wife gave me approval to share this story, okay? All right. Middle of the night, sleeping. My wife wakes me up and she says, Sean, I'm contracting every 7 minutes. I think it's time to go to the hospital. No problem. Let me go take a quick shower. And so she's like, wait, really? I'm like, just real quick. It's fine. No big deal. Take a quick shower. Get out of the shower. We get ready. We get in the car and we start driving. And while we're driving, I'm kind of just cruising, taking my time. Like, okay, every 7 minutes. We've done this before. Last time it took like 40 hours. So we're just going to, we don't need the speed. It's not the movies. And my wife's like, I'm going to have the kid now. It's every 5 minutes. And I'm like, every 5 minutes? What? Boom. I booked it. All I saw was a road in front of me. That's it. I didn't see signs. I didn't see colors. I saw nothing. I just saw a road. And I'm thinking hospital. And it's raining. It's 5 a.m. So there's no one out. So it's totally safe, sort of. But we're driving. We're going for it. And we finally get to the hospital. It's every 5 minutes. My wife is like freaking out. If you've ever, it's like, wow, this is intense. And I'm just like in this adrenaline rush and I'm going for it. And we get to the hospital, not the hotel, whole other place. Whoops. Wrong spot. No, we get to the hospital. And we walk up to the entrance, which I thought was the entrance, and it's locked. The door's locked. I didn't even know that was possible. What kind of hospital is this? This is a sick joke. I'm like, I'm knocking on the door, and I'm like, it's locked. And I'm like, okay, let's go to the other side. There's another entrance on the other side. I'm like, come on, let's go, let's go. And I'm like, holding her, I'm like, you know what? You're taking too long. Just stay right there. I'll be right back. And so I leave my wife on the sidewalk, and I run around to the other front entrance, and it's locked. And I'm banging on the doors. I'm thinking, ah, this is not happening. It's raining outside. My wife's got like a blanket on her. She's going to have a kid. She looks like Luke Skywalker. Like, I'm like on the side of the road. Well, my goodness. So I get done. I run down the stairs. I run on the sidewalk. And I look over at my wife and she is squatting down in the plants. And are you having the kid now? What are you doing? She's like, no, I'm not having the kid. What do you think I'm doing? And I'm like, oh, you want your space? You need space? Your space? No, I don't want my space. Let's go. I want this kid. I'm like, okay. Get back in the car. So we get in the car. I'm driving around. All of a sudden I see this light from heaven. It says emergency room. I'm like, yes. They're there. Man, it was just like, I walk in, and there's people who are like in the emergency room, like, oh, my arm hurts. And like, we walk in, I'm like, we are sopping wet, I have a blanket over her. And I look at the nurse, and she's like, you're having a kid. And I'm like, yep. I'm like pasty white. I'm already white, but I'm really white, ghost white. She's like, you're having a kid. So we immediately rushed her up into the room, and no joke, within the next 45 minutes, our son came, and it was the most amazing thing ever. I'm holding this life, right? I'm holding this little human being, and he's got all his toes and fingers, and he's just like the coolest thing ever, and it's like all the chaos and all the stuff's like the movies, like all these people are moving around, stuff is going on, people are doing things, and it's like we're stuck in time, and I'm holding this life right before my eyes. And I realized in that moment that what gave us the capacity to push forward in the midst of all of the chaos and the messiness and the things, what gave us the hope to push forward was knowing that there was going to be life showing up. In the same light, when it comes to our resurrected Savior and the chaos of life, because it's painful, it's messy, relationships are hard, it's not easy, this life can be totally horrible. Yes, but what gives us the capacity, what gives us hope is to know that this isn't it. The resurrection says no to that. The resurrection says that there is more, that there is life and life and more life and life forever. A place in which we have been created for, a place in which God has been preparing. Jesus says this. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There was more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. The way to where he is going is in a relationship with him. He's preparing a place for us, a perfect place where there is no more sickness, no more death, no more chaos, where everything is in order, where it all begins to work. That gives us hope in the moment for today to know that this isn't it. Your present circumstances are just a season. It is not permanent. There is hope in him because he's alive. And there's not just hope in him for the future. There's hope today. God's plan of restoration may be completed in eternity, but it starts right here. It starts when we're united back into a relationship with our Father. It starts when we begin a relationship with Him. And it's in that relationship that we find forgiveness. Forgiveness from our past mistakes. We don't have to live life today riddled with the horrors of things that we have encountered in our past. Our past mistakes that either we have done or have done to us are wiped clean, paid for. Forgiveness. You see that? Life. Today. Paid for. Done. Not because you did anything. Not because you dressed up, looked good, and talked holy. No. It's nothing to do about what you have done. It's everything to do about what Jesus has done. Because of Jesus, because He is alive, we have forgiveness. We have hope. We have life today. The pressures of this world aren't bogging down on us. We are freed from that. Anxiety, stress, guilt, shame, gone as the peace of God comes upon you that goes beyond our understanding. Freedom. Our true selves, our identity. We find hope for today as God starts to bring truth into our lives and expelling the lies that say that this life is hopeless. It is not hopeless. It is hopeful. Why? Because Jesus is alive. And we find hope in that today. We find hope in the reality that we look to our Creator to define who we are, that we are not failures, that we are not ugly, that we are not stupid, that we are not unloved, that we are not defined by who people say that we are, that we are not defined by our past, that we are not defined by even how we say that we are, that we are not unlovable. No, what the Creator says is that you are worthy. Jesus says that you are worth dying for. You are worth dying for. Jesus thought of you and me and says you are worthy. Why? Because you are beautifully and wonderfully made. Because you matter, because you are gifted and intelligent, and you have purpose in this world right now. All of that is found when we center our lives around Jesus, as we invite Him into the core of who we are. We begin to realize that there isn't just hope for tomorrow, but there is hope for today, because He is alive. And that is for each and every one of us. For you and for me, all we do is say, yes, Lord, I need you. And He says, yes, I am here. I've got you. He's got you. Peace, forgiveness, freedom, life, hope, love. Jesus is madly in love with you. Madly in love with you. And so today, we live with joy, even in the midst of pain. We choose to love people radically as God has chosen to radically love us. We live on purpose, for a purpose. We don't just exist. We have been given a gift of new life in Him, empowered by a relationship with Him. Jesus is alive. May we not take that for granted today. May we recognize that God desires to empower each and every one of us. My hope and prayer is that you, that every single one of us would accept that and recognize that there is hope in Him, because as Jesus is alive, means that we too are alive in Him. And that is good news. That is something to celebrate. That is what Easter is all about. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for coming down, living, showing us what the kingdom of God is like, loving us so much so that you're willing to suffer and die for the purpose of conquering death, so that we could be conquerors of death as well with you, in you. God, some of us are very analytical. We question things, and that's fine. You understand that. You created the mind. You love it. God, I ask for those of us here who don't know you, that we would recognize that you are the living God, the living God. May we trust you and put our faith in you and encounter the life that you so freely give to all of us. Jesus, we thank you this Easter, and we love you. In your name, we all said, amen.